puppets. One of these days, I really, really, really want to do an all-puppet episode.
The Sunday Skypers. A RPG actual play podcast.
Right, you missed the last session, which is fine. We had a little side story where we addressed some of John's beliefs, or rather, Kel's beliefs, about securing more grain and stuff for brewing. Yeah. And they went topside.
We found a way station that had a sister and it worked with right from the surface.
Anyway, came up to the surface, gathered some grain, found a ruined steading, found some odds and ends in there, as well as a resident exiled elf who in whose refurbished dwarven dwelling they are now situated.
We're trying to negotiate for some herbs.
You already did. I think I said. I think I gave you a big honking yes to that after.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we're getting a bunch of dried herbs. We're still probably going to, unless there's wild hops growing around someplace, we're going to have to cut some branches off of trees for bittering.
So Fandral still has one belief that could come into fruition. I guess I was pretty free with information for your last belief about getting information about the local area in Scoria. It wasn't really a test, so.
Well, yeah, I just added that after because I didn't think about it till after the session.
Ah, all right.
I was just adding stuff for our current situation, and that was what I came up with.
Okay, sounds interesting. I don't know what kind of more information I would be able to give, but, you know, we can always, yeah.
Like I said, I was just trying to think what's a belief I could have for our current situation, and that's what I came up with.
The brewing supplies are, you know, you got them, so that's done. And for Flint... Flint with the ever more exotic belief structure, writing, orientation thing.
Well, I could add a belief. I think I will complicate the structure even more.
No? Since you can't add a belief, but you can change something, certainly.
Unfortunately, I kind of chose some very large arcs.
Could totally be more of a fate type earning session. And if something leaps out, I'll make sure to try to remember to prompt you to write something specific.
Fair enough.
And I think we do have Slate's beliefs that will intersect a little since it needs someone to help fix the blackmail deal.
The thing is with that is he doesn't really want to involve anybody if it's going to get them hurt. If it's going to get the person who's going to help him hurt, he doesn't want to involve anyone in the blackmail scheme. He'd rather just do it himself, but, you know, he probably does need a little help.
Yeah,
someone who can take care of themselves.
This is where the poetry of the system comes in, because when you have, like you do, belief about everyone making it there in one piece, and then a potentially harmful other belief that you want to involve them in, then you have a conflict of interest in the beliefs, and it can be a conflict of interest between instincts and beliefs as well. And when you play that out, you get rewarded. It's like that scene in fiction where someone has to put aside something that they believe to do a bigger thing or something. Contemporary fiction is often, you know, doing that thing for that certain someone that you don't want to do, but it makes them happy, so screw it.
That's one way of putting it.
It's the Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah. We'll work that in. All right, so hillside, afternoon, cloudy, wondrous heaven, crazy tricorn mountaintops.
Apprentice is sweating, cutting down barley and grass because they don't know the difference. It's going to be a weird tasting beer when it gets made.
and the warm and possibly delightful / suspicious hospitality of your elven host. And there had just been this great rumble, this great quake in the mountains, and the elf had just said something to the tune of, you know, perhaps you've woken the mountain serpent after all. And then we were supposed to open with Fandral going...
That happened often around here?
So is this, here's the question, is this like facetious or is it a genuine query?
I would say Fandral would like to know if that happened off or not.
All right. Finglarin, the elf, looks at you a little gravely and says, it is certainly the first time I have experienced it, though I'm sure you've heard of quakes in the mountains before.
Aye.
Yes.
Still, this is grave portent, I would say. This may be, this is surely an age of upheaval when, if gods, I mean ghosts, not gods, that's my guff, not his. If ghosts and dragons walk abroad, I would tread lightly wherever you go, down in the dark.
Sounds like exciting times.
Have you seen any others around here heading into the mountain?
Seen? No, but I am a new arrival. I came here maybe half a year ago. The mountainside was still plenty bewildered. No real settlement at that time that I could see.
We've seen some signs of maybe some humans or something around here. I didn't know whether you'd seen them or encountered any.
Signs of humans? I suppose that would fit the story of the people of the serpent that I had heard. Though I will say that I have seen the skulking of goblins and other lessers moving about upon occasion. I've killed a few, but they haven't been out in numbers.
Let's hope they don't congregate.
What do you mean in Scoria?
Or anywhere near either of us.
Yes, yes. I'll certainly say that it's a hope I share, being all alone and all. But, perhaps we should move away from such dire meditations. And how about a song? I'm sure you have some interesting songs from down deep in the mountain.
Aye, I got one, and it's about digging holes.
Don't even start singing that. I will come through this internet and slap you upside the head with the dead fish.
What is diggy diggy hole?
Oh my goodness, no. I will smack you with the dead fish, I swear.
Maybe something a little more historical and of some of the...
Well, there's the old miner and his daughter. But
no,
that
no,
kind of,
not
you
that
know.
One. This is a flight. That's only after many beers.
Many, many beers.
I was thinking something more about the dwarven glories of old Scoria.
Well, do you know any of those songs? I regret to say that I have no knowledge of any of those.
You guys know the Hammer of Gothar?
You know, good old Flint does not carry a note, not unless he has a bucket for it.
But you know a bunch of songs, don't you, though?
You can hum along.
You could always attempt to open stentorious singing. Work on getting that quirky trace back.
Well, yeah, there is what? That. Oddly likable.
Well, I would imagine that he, because his clan history and stuff like that, you actually might know some of the older songs.
True.
Fine. This is going to be a train wreck, but if it's going to make the elf happy, let's see.
This is actually an excellent opportunity for, I think, Fandral to actually fulfill that one belief that is still hanging there. Maybe you're not getting information from the elf specifically, but through your interaction, right? Now, the whole recalling of this song might have something interesting in it, a hint or something.
Well, I say we put it to the test to see if we can craft an imposing and grim tale of the fall of Scoria.
Oh, I think the prince called for some old glories, not so much the dismal dire fall.
Yeah, the finding that coin and remembering about
Gothar
the hammer, he's... remembering a song about him.
How does it go again? And yeah, I think that might be...
The singing may not be good, but maybe we can make a clan history roll out of this.
Yeah, you could help, say, Fandral with...
I've got a B4 in clan histories. I'll fish out a stanza or two.
You know, and I bet there's a jug nearby. I'd pick it up and...
Oh, cool. It would be appropriately dwarfy.
You know, I'm just going to say that's Ulf Kel being impulsive, since that's what he is. You know, taking advantage die from that. It's not a, any skill in particular.
It's just what my character traits.
It's what you do when you're waiting for the brew, the cure, or whatever it does.
Yeah, sometimes from the brewing area, you, it sounds like the foghorns out in the ocean.
All right. So let's have Pandrel test singing with a bonus die from John and a bonus die from clan history. Unless clan history is B5, of course. Since
B4.
And let's say it's an obstacle 4 to discover something.
What? You didn't know before. Okay. To discover something. Actual discover execution. Something.
No, I mean something of note that you didn't know before, right? If you get it, you can declare it. If you fail, you can still declare it, but, you know, it may be right, it may be wrong. It may be half right. But I like the atmosphere here.
So how badly do we want this?
Well, you're the one who likes creating history, so I imagine you're going to throw a deed at it. Maybe not.
Wow.
Maybe not.
So what's your base pool there?
Going to be 5 with your...
With our help.
Unlikely. I could fork in my history, ancient history.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll just go with that then.
4, 6 versus 4, rather. It's a routine singing test.
So it was 4, right? So there we go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. You got your 4 successes.
Here's the question. If he pops the 6, does that give him anything better or does it matter?
No, it's not a depth of information kind of test. Ah. It's just to discover something that you didn't previously know, because maybe you unearthed a stanza that you together, right? That you that have been lost for a while, or that you haven't heard since you yourself lived in Scoria or something like that.
Or right? It's the one everyone goes na 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 when it comes to me.
Yeah, that's how it normally goes. Yeah.
In the elf's cabin with the jug playing in the background.
The tale, the song is Gothar's Hammer. What's the new discovery about Scoria and the glories of old that come to light? That might help you in your expedition, of course.
Remember that there was something about Gothar fighting an ancient worm.
Ooh. With a Y.
Sorry, very bad mental image there.
Yeah, so what was that stanza, Flint, that you remembered?
Well, he fought it with a hammer because he couldn't, because his blades could not penetrate his scales, but he could definitely drive the scales in with his hammer and use his own scales against them.
Didn't he make like the skull part of his throne?
Aye.
Yes.
The great maw with the gilt teeth.
Yes, I remember seeing that as a boy.
Interesting. So the great princely throne in Scoria is
the two great fire opals for eyes
is in the maw of a dragon skull.
Yeah.
The dragon throne of Scoria.
That just sounds like Gothar, yeah.
Of course, since the title of the song is Gothar's Hammer, and you said he used his hammer, it would have to be a pretty sweet hammer.
Well, we've already established that that's a treasure.
Right, we have.
It was forged from iron that fell from the sky.
Now we know it's a dragon-killing hammer.
Aye.
That means something in Burning Wheel. And there's only one dwarf here with a hammer skill.
Bum, okay. Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, well, last time I looked at the manual for axes and hammers, there wasn't much difference. But be that as it may, we'll see how that turns out. The Spider Breaker probably has to update his title in a little while.
All right.
I wonder if that sinks into him. It's like, ooh.
Well, it depends who finds it first. I mean, if it is an artifact, I think my B3 won't affect it that much. I think anyone can probably use it. Just I can use it just a little bit better than anyone else.
Hammer might be a snob and may not rest in the hand of an axe wielder.
We zoom out from the dwarf stone cottage out of the hillside and into the clouds and with the twilight rays coming out of the clouds in this sort of beautiful way and the tunes of the song echoing out. And and we're going to wrap that there and cut back to the expedition with you there later. Yeah. But right now, Slate is, well, pondering what to do with the whole blackmail thing. What to do, what to do. So the prince and his right hand and the master brewer have gone away with a few people. You know that. That was a little while ago, and as such, Roar and his ilk have been pretty busy, too busy to really check up on you or come by and lean on you to do that thing you promised to do.
I'd like to do something with their arms when they lean on me, but then... Go ahead.
And they've been too busy for that since, you know, they have to pick up the slack when the prince is away. So you've had some time to think things over. Now, what's your plan? What do you think you would need to do to find some dirt on this Roar, on this captain of mercenaries, really, since the great goblin wars ended?
I'm thinking I want to find someone he's attached to. Maybe not romantically, but maybe like his in family.
All right. And what would the intent of this, you know, finding this person be?
Just to see what they know about him that I don't know.
You want to find some family member, maybe close, maybe distant, who has some personal information.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
I don't want to frighten them. Kind of get in there good with them and find out the information. So, okay, thanks.
Oh, I remember him. He used to sew his nappies the worst way.
No, I need better blackmail than that.
This sounds like circles. Sounds like someone you might have come across in your brief dwarven host years.
No, maybe.
I think so, because Roar is a fairly, you know, martial person, and he would be able to. He would totally press in his kin. Or if you have another idea where you might find someone like that on this expedition, I'm totally willing to hear it.
Actually, I don't have much of an idea because I'm not sure what kind of person Aurora is yet.
A military commander, veteran of wars, rumored to be fiendishly strong, bit of a douche.
Well, I got that part.
like Bluto the dwarf.
Yeah, I'll go with someone he knows, try to get some information out of that person. All right. I also warn the prince what I'm up to, or what he's up to, in a very... slick, sly way I'm still thinking of.
Since the prince is presently away, on his way back, you hear, but presently away, let's do the circles first, see if you can get some information. Yeah, I think it's actually an obstacle 5 circles test.
Yikes.
And if you fail, there's still the enmity clause, which means, you know, I may give something to you anyway, or actually it's called something else.
According to this, you basically, it's circles plus rep plus F, where F is.
My reputation is ridiculously low.
It's a one die reputation. I would certainly say that if you're looking for someone in a martial sense, which would totally be sensible, then you could work in that die.
Okay, I think I want to do that then. I was actually about to recommend that because I just noticed that he's a veteran of the Goblin Wars and so is Roar.
Yeah, now you got 3 dice.
Okay.
Nobody much liked the extortionate surgeon that would press people to giving up their family heirlooms for saving their leg or something.
I only have that reserve.
Well, you know what? If you want to do it, we could do it the other way because it would be good to involve some other dwarves. We could have you approach the prince first when he gets back, and then, you know, maybe we could work in Flint, and Flint could write a belief about helping you.
Yes, that sounds fantastic because at this point, I trust the prince and Flint more than I trust Roar.
Of course you do.
I still want to protect my grandfather, and I'm not going to lie to my prince, but I... think that this sort of thing that he's doing, I need to get back at him for.
Here's the thing, though. If you go to the prince, that may actually, it might actually...
cause someone to lose their head?
Yeah, cause someone to lose their head. Also cause someone to lose their reputation, since Roar has found out that someone who's, you know, conspiring to get stuff from the prince on the sly.
So
he might
let
lose that messenger.
But
you may want to
approach
Flint directly, right?
Yeah.
You may want to who? Talk to Flint directly?
Yes. Flint is the prince's right-hand dwarf.
And major gossip.
Idea. Okay. Yeah. Don't shoot the messenger sort of thing. Okay.
And then you don't have to necessarily be completely open with what you're, with why you want this stuff, right?
Well, that's no, I don't. I can craft my words in such a way that it just seems like Forrest being a big old jerk.
Okay, well, in that case, I think we should have a scene with Slate finding Flint when Flint and the rest are just back with all the supplies. So where does Flint go when he returns from the whole singing and mountainside trekking and...
Well, he'll probably check in the scouts. If there's no troubles there, he'll probably hit his tent. It's been a long day of harvesting and singing.
And trekking and going up and down and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Well, that part, that's a scout's burden. I'm used to that. Harvesting, that works muscles that a scout usually doesn't have to worry about.
True.
I don't know where they went, do I?
But well, it'll be obvious when we come back with bushels of grain.
Then I'm going to know he's going to be sore. Offering painkillers is a peace offering.
The good stuff with the opiates in it.
I can't exactly knock on a tent, so I'll just stand outside it and holler at him.
Slate, come in.
carrying this
and Flint is, taking off his mail and doing that whole stretching sore thing. Fate must have brought you to me. I am not made for farming.
I figured, here. Gives him a pouch full of herbs.
It's like a tea?
Well, sort of. Hang on a second.
Maybe some over and,
he has a mug. Right? Somewhere?
I'm a dwarf. Duh.
I'm going to go get him some beer. Then I'm going to go put the herbs in the...
The mullet.
Have him beer. Drink it.
Very dwarfy. You take your medicine with your beer.
Yep. Figured you'd like that.
It's like mother's milk. At least for dwarves.
How do you broach this whole thing? How do you get Flint... what do you say?
Well, I'm going to, lean against one of the pieces of furniture in the tent and just kind of go, so, I have something to talk to you about.
Yes, yes.
One of your... He's a commander, right? Not a general?
He's the captain of the military side of the expedition.
One of your captains is overstepping his bounds.
Oh, that'd be Roar.
Yeah, at least you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, the scouts and the axe bearers don't see eye to eye on all things.
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a bigger problem.
Oh?
Roar asked me to steal something.
Not more beer.
No, something a little more concrete than beer.
Of course, the first thing Flint thinks about is the crown.
No, I don't think he's... not that.
Well, he's not saying it, but you can see it on his face, like, oh no.
He said something about a stone.
Yes?
I'm just going to roll back a little and ask if this is something Slate wants to... Well, actually, go ahead, actually. Screw it.
What? Huh?
I'm just thinking, what if Flint, ends up tattling to Fandral, and then, then we're back to the whole bringing in Fandral to the actual stone thing, and...
Well...
The risk of...
Slate hasn't actually asked what he wants.
That's true.
He didn't go straight to the prince.
No, and obviously he didn't steal anything either.
I'll hang back. Go on.
He wants me to steal it, and I thought that wasn't the greatest idea. Only problem is he's going to make my life a living heck. I can't say that word. A living, what's the flippin' dwarven term for hell?
Hades.
Hell.
Good.
Hell? Okay. A living hell if I don't get it for him.
Is this so he's just trying to intimidate you into doing his dirty work?
With threats of physical harm as well as other things, yes.
You know he's a bully through and through.
Yeah, of course I do. That's not the problem, and I'm obviously not going to steal anything from the prince.
Oh, do you say that?
Oh! That's almost relief. Only the prince?
Only the prince? Obviously not going to steal anything, period.
Okay.
But
well,
I want to get him off my back.
It sounds like you don't have any leverage against him, do you?
Nope. I was kind of hoping you would.
Well, he did hang around with people that tried to poison a bunch of dwarves, and I relate the tale back in Marl about the drinking contest and all of that and certain dodgy characters.
This was drinking contest.
See, I may be getting my details wrong.
You're tired after a long day of hoeing and all that, so.
When the prince was trying to recruit people, there were some dubious behavior, and I'm just drawing a blank on all this.
You mean the portion where he was poisoned?
Yeah, but it was his allies, supposed right. allies.
Right.
And so he's hung out with the wrong class of dwarves in the past, shameless supporters of men.
Not sure that's quite good enough. Mm. You might just laugh it off.
Well, yeah, he was the victim. Well, I guess this is where I break out rumor-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little bit of hold-wise, if I can fork that in, since we're talking about Marl and what Roar was up to.
All right. So this would be rumors about his character pertaining to the whole...
And his past and his behavior during the wars.
Well, it seems like you're rather fishing for his tendency to pal around with people who are disreputable, right?
Absolutely.
Like the human supporting poisoners and so forth. So maybe you've heard of a particular thing, like a particularly noisome dwarf or an alliance that he's had in the past, right? You could fabricate that with rumor-wise.
Sure. I would actually like to be able to recall something with maybe a shade of truth, but if it's just a story, that'll work too.
Well, this is a linked test, so it doesn't have to be, you know, super solid. But if you generate a reputation, that she can use that in her circling to find someone who actually knows something about their reputation, so it's actually more than just hearsay. Right?
Ah, that'll work. So what kind of dice do I throw down here?
Your rumor-wise, and then what... What is your hold-wise if we're talking about events in Marl? B3, yeah. Okay. So that's one die in forking. Mm. Call it an ob-3.
Well, I guess we'll throw down and see what we can squeak out of that. So when spending persona, do I do that before or after the roll?
Before.
Since this is an affront against the prince, and it actually kind of goes in very faintly in towards my belief in supporting the prince and the company, we'll fork in. We'll throw in 2 persona. I like to succeed more than fail, and at least this is a 50-50 shot.
You know what? I would refine that belief for now about Fandral having your axe, and write down as a colon after it, like, you know, help prevent Roar's
stealing.
Okay.
Scheme is good. Come on, 50-50. I hate those odds, and I have 4 successes.
So yeah, what is this ill-boding reputation you have heard? Is it a character, a particular person, a particularly unpleasant or disreputable Marl dwarf he's been palling around with, or is it something else?
Is Marl large enough to have something like a thieves' guild?
No. Thieves' guild, dwarf society, no. But you do have that entire class of adventurers, people, dwarves who have essentially turned their backs on dwarven society to go out and do their own thing, beyond oaths, beyond familial ties, and those are like, when they come back, people know, you know, they can smell it on, the other dwarves can smell it on them. And he's been pretty hard on adventuring dwarves in the past. You remember he was against Bardi Bluefell joining your expedition.
Okay, there we go. All the hot air that Roar had about Bardi isn't because that he was against adventures. He didn't want Bardi to reveal their working relationship.
Ooh.
Because Roar has unusual financial dealings and trade, but he doesn't do it himself. He goes through Bardi to deal with the humans.
Of course, now Bardi's dead, probably. But still, great for Roar, but not so great for the reputation still lingers. Excellent. I think that's super. That's a bonus die, then, for Slate's circles test, finding someone who can corroborate.
Absolutely. Roar is unsavory, but be careful. He is the strong arm around here.
Yep. I could end up dead, but yeah.
So, Flint, do you drink down your medicine and sleep, or do you, like, put on your boots again and go out with Slate and try to find someone?
Oh,
or do you drink down the medicine and go, I can't feel my feet?
Hey, you were in the host, right? You could help with circles.
Yeah.
Taking your boots off and then putting them back on us. Oh. We'll work this a totally different way. If you're trying to find leverage against Roar, he says you need to talk to Ufkel, the brewmaster. He's not a friend of Roar either.
So should I tell him what I told you?
True. He's also been, well, that's up to you. I'm not playing the scene.
Yeah. Well, I think realistically, being sore, he'll take his med and he'll call it a day because, you know, running around with minuses for fatigue sucks. So.
You know what? Imagine this. Hey, Ulfkel, Slate comes up to you and says, so I'm digging up some dirt on Roar. You want to know this? Right?
That bastard! What do you need help with?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that as yes, he wants a piece of this.
He talks at about 3 decibels higher than everyone else, so of course it's echoing all over the place.
He is going to leave some extra medication for Flint.
All right.
Oh. Just a little bit extra. And it's for his muscles. I didn't say it was an opiate, but I'm saying it out loud.
Make sure and mix this with alcohol.
Of course, you have to with dwarves.
Yeah, I'm going to go find Ulfkel.
Just simmering on where the voice is echoing from the back of the tunnel.
Okay, I'm going to hold my ears to
Ulfkel. Give us the scene then, John. What's going on in Brewer Camp?
We're laying down stone slabs in the bed of one of the wider wagons, and then we're saying, we need to get the colds going, so we think we make the bed so we can start malting the grains. So yeah, we're starting a fire. That's why we're putting the stones down to keep it from burning the wagon up. Busy going through doing a grain wise on the grain that's rushed. I'm just like, yeah, this is horrible. Definitely gonna eat some of these herbs. This stuff tastes good.
And again, a lot of it you were saving, right, for Scoria Brewing.
Yeah.
This is for the beer to tide you over while you get the Scoria Brewery is going, I guess.
Yeah.
I may or may not have some sweet tasting herbs in my pack.
Well, I point over to a couple bushel baskets of dried herbs. I look around and say, they were picked by an elf.
Oh.
It's going to be really pansy tasting beer.
Oh, no. What if Andrew won't like it?
But, you know, Bear found some things, too, so we maybe make it a little bit stronger.
Can I pull you away from that for a second?
Uh-oh.
Rory! Get over here, your ass!
All right, he shuffles over on his pony, I guess.
Watch, make this shit. It built the bed right for the malting.
Yes. Of course.
It's part of your grain, too, so you got to make sure it's done right.
Yes. Of course, he's glancing back at Bear, who's sort of waving some kind of, utensil at him. And of course, yes.
I hold that's actually the big rake.
Giant fork.
I hold a finger up just for a second to a Slate, and I walk over to Bear. Keep an eye on him. Make sure he's doing it right. Pat on the shoulder and walk back over to Slate.
They hear this muttering under her breath, like he takes so much work.
Anyway, so I walk over and I grab a beer and I grab another beer. You know, I actually ask for his mug.
All right, of course.
Yep. Can't do anything without beer.
No, you can't.
I'll have a beer with him. Always in the mood for a beer.
Tell me how it tastes. This is experiment number one.
He takes his drink and spits it out.
Okay, a little too much cayenne. Yes.
What's this obsession with peppering your beers? It's like,
Anyway, you think that's something that make it taste sweeter? Maybe you could just sprinkle in there and see how it goes.
I don't know what plants are in the Tolkien universe, so I'm going to call it honey leaf. He throws them a bushel of honey leaf, which is generally used for headaches, but can be used to flavor beer too, I suppose.
It extends the period where you don't, where you're not hungover, I guess.
Probably.
Crush some in there, taste it, and it's like, okay, it tastes like hot and sour. that's not bad.
So, Oakel, you're impulsive, right?
Yes.
You're really impulsive. And, yeah, you have a beer and Slate has a beer. And I think if you start drinking too much beer, that would be a fate point.
I haven't even told him why I'm there yet.
I know, but it's like I just keep grabbing different herbs and we're busy talking, getting another draught put in there. It's like I'm trying to find the right combination of stuff.
This means that Slate gets a little drunk as well.
Okay, yeah, I'll get a little drunk too.
But I have drunking as a learning
skill.
Oh
boy, lowered inhibitions. I need to roll my own dice here for a second. Just don't.
For what?
It's a decision I'm making. Don't worry right. about it. Oh, jeez. Okay.
So you want to know about that bastard, little pinch of salt. Roar!
I can see this devolving slightly to the side of the brewery where they're sitting sort of, they're beginning to get sort of droopy-lidded and having half a beer.
Oh, no, I have drinking as a skill.
Yeah, that means Very you're skill. Getting roaring drunk quicker. It has nothing to do with holding your liquor.
I thought I did.
This is about dwarves. You get really, really drunk and start roaring stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess this is like a clandestine slurring sort of meeting beside the whole brewery madness with apprentices running back and forth and threshing stuff and mixing.
It occurs to me, if Slate gets too drunk, because he's got the reason he needs to blackmail Horvath right in the back of his head, he might accidentally end up saying it.
Oh.
Saying what? I'm sorry, saying
he might accidentally end up saying why Hor's is trying to blackmail him into stealing something.
Oh.
Yeah, you might. You might. I don't know if... Would you have an interesting trait that I could reward you for that for? Well, I can't really do anything. But, that's up to you. That's role-playing. I won't stop you. Since it would go against one of your beliefs, maybe. A little.
It would definitely go against one of my beliefs.
Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't remember if he's still alive or not, Sergeant Scully. Is he still kicking about?
For the present scene, this is mostly flavor, and then for the next test, it'll be an extra obstacle. Haha.
Yeah. Well, because I remember I had dealings with Sergeant Scully.
Okay.
He was one of Roar's band. He's a former customer, but I think he's still part of Roar's band, so I probably relate some of the things he told me.
You have a sort of jovial goblin fighting rivalry going. So you're not pals, but...
Far be it me saying anything, bad about the bastard.
No, you have to.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. It's getting better. To the bastard. But, when we were busy taking on the goblins for, what's his name? That damn goblin. Whatever.
Ever got his name.
Weasley Bastard.
Bastard, that was his name. Yes, Weasley Bastard.
He doesn't have a name, just,
Well, he's got a name now, but because he's king. He tended to hang back a little bit. He let his men go out there, and he let his dwarves go out there and take the brunt of the thing, and he's sort of back there goading him on. I'm totally misremembering what happened.
Of course you are.
Because I was nowhere near there. I was over actually taking care of the trolls.
It's not a linear story kind of.
Yeah. And he's always one for taking the glory, claiming things he's done that he hasn't done.
Okay, so Oldkill is clearly just blathering.
Making shit up.
Yeah.
But you have a purpose here.
I'm drunk, but I'm not that drunk. I probably realize he's not being completely truthful right now.
I'm bitching about him because he stole my beer. Things I learned from Sergeant Scully are probably true. So anything that comes through Sergeant Scully are probably more or less true facts about Roar.
Might be.
Sergeant
Unfortunately,
Scully.
I don't Scollie. But I have no rumor-wise. I have no storytelling. I'm just a brewer. Of course, this is the point in time we make a drunking roll.
No. I'm saying yes to that, since this is still part of the process of circling.
Actually, can I make a circle test then?
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't? All right.
I think Slate should tell Ulfkill why, what he needs.
I'm going to essentially tell him exactly what I told Flint.
In a much more slurred.
Much more slurred. And
we're not sure how much comes across except that, Roar is a bastard and needs to be stopped.
But there's something about a stone in there.
Stone? Stones. Singular?
Stone, yes. Stone one, singular.
This beer's getting better as we drink it, you know.
So yeah, will you help Slate then find someone who can corroborate these rumors Flint mentioned?
Aye. I look at the water clock. It's getting time for the beer ration. Would you get a cup of me on the beer ration trip? We might find somebody who might talk for a little extra ration.
Sure.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Oh, we could try some of this. This has been tasting really good, hasn't it?
I think by the end of this, he should have a wonderful recipe he can't remember.
No, it's the cayenne beer that he's been adding herbs to every other mug's been a different set of herbs been added to
yes,
it.
So and I think you should fix it, but not remember the steps you got there. So you just have one good pepper beer.
That smells of lilacs and honey leaf.
much too pansy for dwarves.
Ah, but you don't spit it out anymore. That or my taste buds are completely burnt out by the cayenne, and that's I have no idea what it tastes like. One or the other.
So you make your rounds around the expedition with the beer and the Roar's band, right? So this is a circles test with helping dice from John, with a bonus dice from your reputation. You know, if John happens to have some reputation or affiliation, I'd say that would be cool too.
Does beer bribery count?
I'd say that's an advantage die, you know, having beer handy.
Oh,
yeah. I don't see anything in particular that I would say necessarily.
How about relationship? Because I know Sergeant Scully, and I might be willing to give him an extra ration of beer.
Only he doesn't really know anything.
Just know anything.
But,
oh, okay.
But
you might know someone who does know something.
I'll give you a bonus die. Yes, because you know maybe he'll be happy that you have. Be mm-hmm. with you, and only, of course, you can't go to Scully. You can't. Oh. I think Slate is going to say, oh, no. So do you remember Slate? Scully and Roar were the two who strong-armed you into...
Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking about just now.
But we still have to stop by them to get their ration, but they're just getting a ration then, okay.
I'll be over here.
Yeah.
as one of the company's healers, there's no reason why you can't make the rounds with the beer.
Yeah. Checking people out, you know, making sure the people you patched up are still are properly treating their bandages and stuff like that.
Sometimes. Lance the boil, whatever needs to be done.
Drink this beer and call me in the morning.
But the only reputation I can think
of. I still have my herbs in my pocket anyway, so.
I mean, but the only reputation I can think of is up and coming Nogger, and I don't know if that actually would apply.
No. So
Spider Breaker of Maul?
No. No. Just plain. What's your circles?
Three. Yeah, just one die then.
And Slate has circles two or three?
Two. I think.
Yep. So that becomes three, and an extra die for your reputation, four.
And the advantage die, because I'm getting about beer.
Yes, so five. And the obstacle was five. So if you want to, you can spend up to two of your two persona points to add dice right now to the pot. They will increase your chance of succeeding, but they will not increase or they will not decrease the difficulty of the test we record for advancement purposes. We'll get to that later.
I'll go ahead and chuck one.
Okay, and then you record that.
Did Flint's information provide any help?
Oh, right, a bonus die from Flint. You are correct.
Oh, then I don't need this one.
Well, no, the more dice, the merrier.
I will then.
Yeah. So then you have seven dice, am I correct?
Yes.
Six from helping and circles, and one persona. Obstacle here is five.
Yeah. Whoa, pop those sixes.
All right, so presently you have one, two, three, four successes. You need one more. Now you have three sixes, and if you spend a fate point, you can explode those sixes.
Okay,
and
I'll do that.
Was
drum roll.
Was that your new roll?
Oh.
2-3-1
3-3-1
This means that this circles test is a failure, which means interesting consequences.
But
this is where interesting things happen. I'm just going to crowdsource this. So, we need a dwarf name, a veteran.
Ognar.
Sled.
Sled? Spell that, please.
I'm not sure how you spell. Just remembering strange Anglo-Saxon names from the British History Podcast I've been listening to.
Oh. we'll just treat it like Dredd, like Judge Dredd. So it's S-L-E-D-D. You make your rounds and let slip a few words here and there without being specific, right? Maybe about Blufeld, Bardi, and his stuff, right? And until one of the veterans go, you should talk to that guy over there. You shuffle over and, the dwarf turns around. And, of course, it's Sled, whose eye you didn't save way back when. Ooh. The goblin who has been actively hating on you for years. And I mean grudge-hating, kind of, the way dwarves hold grudges. And he,
starts... get tackled, aren't I?
So he growls a little low in his throat, and he snatches his beer from Overkill and says, what do you want?
I would like some cooperation.
Well... I would have liked to have my eye still, but we can't always have what we want, can we?
Ulfkill pours himself a beer and sits back and starts watching.
Spits right before Slate's feet.
I move my bug out of the way.
Do I know that this dwarf doesn't like Roar?
Oh, well, he's in Roar's band, whether he likes him or not. He doesn't hate him, obviously.
Okay.
I'm sure you might persuade him to if you were a persuasive dwarf like the prince. But
here's a question: What's Sled with Horace Van when he lost his eye?
Sure, why not? I think that sounds cool.
Yeah, maybe you get him to blame, instead of blaming you, you can start blaming Horar.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. But how? I don't know how he lost the eye.
Maybe, he was injured and he wouldn't have necessarily lost the eye, but maybe you shuffled him off. You didn't treat it even properly or he wouldn't pay you, so you didn't prioritize him.
No, right? I know that. Okay. I'm wondering how he got injured in the first place.
It could have been a rock splinter.
Yeah.
That, catapult rock landed, hit another rock, splinters went out and wound his eye.
In fact, it should be something silly. That should feed his anger and grudge against you. Like, you could have fixed it if you'd just gotten to it a dime or if you paid attention. Yeah. Or
I think it was Roar's inept command that led to the incident to begin with.
That's what you might say.
Yeah.
I got something. If Roar hadn't led you guys through that canyon, there would have never been a rock slide.
Well, arrows were mushrooms, we'd all be high. Means nothing. You didn't save it.
I didn't have time. Because of how he led you guys, I was dealing with everybody.
You didn't want to. You had other things to do. You were too busy lining your pockets.
No, actually, I wasn't. He remembers the incidents that he points to another dwarf. Would you have preferred I save your eye and not his life?
Way to put the screws to him.
Interesting. Well, I think he grumbles at that. He doesn't have a good reply, he's still not a fan of you.
Yeah. Being a person who actually did get a stone splinter in his eye, it just makes your eye really bloodshot. So you could easily misdiagnose what it was.
It doesn't change the fact that I am still responsible and I do still feel guilty for it, but I'm not going to let him walk all over me for it. Look, when we get to Scoria, I'll personally buy you a golden eye.
When we get to Scoria, buying gold eyes. What do you want?
I need some information from you.
Well, isn't that peachy?
About Roar.
Well, I'm all out of information about Roar.
Why?
What do you mean, why? It's just the way it is.
Have you seen how he's leading you guys lately? He's going to get more of you killed than are going to come back from this thing. He's lazy. He's arrogant. He's a bully. He doesn't care about you. Heck, I even heard that he hung back while a whole bunch of his men ran forward. Does that sound like the behavior of a captain to you?
Yes, it is. He's a captain. He's not going to lead from the front. He sends his men in. What's your point?
My point is he could have prevented a lot of deaths. Many more than I could have.
And I'm fishing for and your eye.
And your eye. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and while is this going on, as soon as he drinks his mug, I'll just take it from him and refill it and give it back to him.
Oh, you mean when he drinks up?
Yes.
Otherwise, like, he takes a sip, dwarf still sips.
Yeah. or at least top it off.
All right. I guess what you're trying to do is get him on your side, getting him to open up. This sounds a lot like persuasion. This is really putting the idea into his head that he's in the wrong camp, he owes no allegiance to Roar. It was Roar's fault. You know
exactly
that.
Exactly what I want to do. Yeah.
Do you have persuasion?
She has coarse persuasion. And soothing platitudes. And very importantly, she's trying to sell him on the idea, spiel wise.
Oh, you speak in the best way.
I'm reaching for it.
No, that's pretty good, actually. It would be coarse persuasion, and you could totally fork in spiel wise, and you could totally fork in soothing platitudes if you were to add platitudes, like, you know, it doesn't even look bad, or you know, it can. I
chick
you know.
Scars.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah. I could say something like, "Well, I think you're the most rugged one out of all of us. Mm-hmm. Missing your eye isn't doing you any harm. Actually, it's making you look more fierce."
Which is dwarven soothing platitudes.
Now, this is an ob 6. Since, you know, you're at a complete disadvantage, this is someone who doesn't like you even a little. But, of course, persuasion with two forks. And, of course, since John is there, maybe Ulf Kill might help.
Hey, I got Force Persuasion at B3.
You could help with one die. That gives you 5 dice all told.
Okay, 5. Yeah, so I'd have 6 die. Because I spent 1 of each, so I have 6 die.
You spend the persona. You don't spend the fate yet. There's nothing to spend it on yet.
Yeah, you were at 5, and now that takes you to 6. You just have to cross your fingers and hopefully get lots of things you can pop.
I failed this.
Nah. And that is 3 successes and 1 6. So you can spend the fate and hope for a reroll with a 6 and maybe more 6s.
Yeah. And 1 more 6.
Oh, roll again. You have 4 successes and roll again.
And another 6.
Oh, cool. So 5 successes and one more.
Another shot. 6.
There's a 5. Okay.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
It was fate. Yeah, the time has dulled the wound while Roar is a fresh thorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. How am I going to play this? That is a challenging course persuasion test. You can record that. Ulfkill also earns a test for coarse persuasion.
So, and it's also a challenging.
You should both have a challenging circles test. I may have forgotten that. So, Sled, I think between the beer and this pretty apt calling out of negative qualities and so on, Sled shrugs after a while and he's getting a little drunk himself. You know, I suppose I don't. Suppose I don't owe that bastard anything. What do you want to know?
I'd like to know if there's anything he doesn't want known.
Oh, of course, lots of things. There's that, there's that human girl and Kanluren and, Time of the Donkey and, remember that?
Not that.
Oh, you remember Barty Blufeld, the adventurer and his filthy troop of filthy goblin dung hunger slingers, right? They went with the expedition for a while and then they vanished and don't know where. Very odd. Anyway.
When he's trying to sort of cross his fingers, his eyes cross as well, sort of before his nose.
They were like this. I don't know what you may have heard, but Barty brought in some side income for Roar, and fair enough, it supplied the bandwidth stuff, but it was mainly, I think, to feed his debts, because Roar's deep in debt. Oh yeah, the Longbeards of Marl, they got him in a vice, you know. That's why we went outside and fought with the humans in the first place.
With the humans or for the humans? I can't remember.
For the humans, not with the humans, but for the humans.
I
live round, behind, top of, under, rather the humans.
Good times. Hold my mug up.
No,
clunk, clink.
Clink, clink.
All right, yeah, so you do, in fact, now have an actual dwarf who will say? Many you can so, right? you could possibly drag with you as a sort of proof.
Oh, I'm sure he'd love that.
He needs to be drunker before he do that.
Still, you did convince him that, you know, he doesn't owe him anything.
Yeah, okay. I'll drag him along.
Oh, you're doing it now? Wow, okay.
Later, not now.
Later, okay.
Still got your duties and rounds to tend to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave him a little pouch for the raging headache he's going to have after this. Continue with Bolt Kill. Out of all of those, I'd say the sleeping with a human is the most...
Despicable?
Dishonorable?
Aren't they even built the same?
Well, they must be close enough. Maybe she was a midget.
It's possible.
No, she's probably, she probably was this tall blonde woman.
It's like climbing a mountain. Why? Because it was there. Anywho, I think we need to move our spotlight.
Yes, please.
It burns! It burns!
Please remove your spotlight from me.
All right. So, Fandral, you're back from this back-breaking labor of watching all the others do their work. Of course, Roar is there in your little nook, and you know, Sigebert is there with the latest soothing fixed up beer from Ulfkell. Also, right next to it is another mug with like a different fixed up thing from Rory and Bear. Since, if you guys recall, we didn't actually, you know, you made a test.
Yes.
A little while back to see who could make the better, you know, tasting version of this, you know, to fix them up, who could do it better. And it would take a while for it to sort of mature.
Yep.
And that time is now. You've sent a tasting of each to the prince.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who better to give an opinion on worth and value of these things than the prince? Yeah, a few of the scouts are there, but they're just sort of leaving the reports. Roar is saying, well, prince, you're approaching Scoria now. Don't believe there's much further left, maybe a few days. Scouts haven't reported anything in particular of an obstacle, which, frankly, you know, it sets me at ease. I don't like, you know, when you go into the underway and then they report nothing. That's bad luck and such. There's clearly something waiting for us and something bad.
Oh, where are the serpent men? That's it.
The who?
Well, we've heard reports that there are serpent worshippers or some such.
Dragon slaves or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're a force to be reckoned with in that case. We haven't seen or heard anything of goblins for a while now, and it's just wrong. I mean, it's right, and I'm glad, and they're not tracking their filth all over the underway. So did you feel the quake on the surface? Big one.
Yes, we did. You felt it down here? Didn't...
Another ill portent, I think.
Tunnels collapsed or anything?
No, but plenty of dust fell on our heads, and we were sore afraid that the whole thing would collapse on our heads, but luckily it didn't. It's the only lucky thing.
Well, I think we should look over the maps, because I want to make sure we can find our way to these doom gates. They sound interesting. We may need to go there.
So the lower entrances are right. Oh, you mean, oh, of course. What if, that would maybe take us past a big force. That's true, of course. Mm. Yeah. But wouldn't it be more important, more prudent to, I don't know, scout it out first and, yeah, maps, yeah. I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking. I haven't had a beer yet. Beer! And, you know, one of his...
Sigurd, get Roar a beer.
Yes, sir. And he hurries over and gives Roar Bear and Rory's brew. Better than before.
So eloquent.
Yes. You're correct. We should find this and who where maps. Yeah, he begins to dig through the scraps and papers and make me a perception test here, Mr. Fandral, at an obstacle of 3.
Yeah, I'll throw a persona just to help me out a little bit. Yeah, there's 3. Would do I get more if I reroll a 6?
No. All right, so you meet it, and yeah, you could swear that you think Roar is being a little
wussy,
hesitant, and maybe holding some of the map scraps back. Like maybe he's shuffling a few under the others.
Wait, This is the map. How could you miss that?
Oh, there. Oh, of course. Well, no, maybe too much beer all at once. Of course, yeah, of course, that's a scrap.
You don't have any concerns about this, do you?
How do you mean, my prince?
You aren't, in some way, reluctant to scout out the Doom Gates.
Well, it's not past the point of them being called Doom Gates and all that, which is, another ill portent and all sort of, yeah, that stuff.
You don't have any information about them that you haven't shared, do you?
Sure, no. He's clearly a little pressed. Like he's drinking his beer. He's drinking the last of a beer and sort of desperately searching for more.
Break out the eye.
You seem to be holding something back, Roar. Come on, out with it.
Well, no. Well, it's really nothing. I'm just concerned that we might be taking a big risk going for that particular portion, all unknowns and such. I'd say it's more, wouldn't it be more prudent to go for the main tunnel entrance and the thoroughfare with the Hall of Heroes and all that. Yes, we could pay our respects and that.
Well, we're exploring all our options, but
of course, yes.
Given that
yes.
If there is opposition, us coming through the Doom Gates is probably less likely to be anticipated.
I'll certainly admit it's a tactical. It's a clever tactical idea, and we yes. Well, I support it, of course. We should scout all of it, of course. Yes, you're the prince. He's sweating a little, like unduly so.
How do you want me to press him on this? I'm already trying to.
Oh, if you want to. Okay, obviously there's something.
Yeah.
But it could be intimidation, or if you're more sly about it, it could be a persuasion test. That would be, working in the idea that, whatever you have, whether you're sitting on whatever fears you have, it's you want to share them or something like that, right? Yeah, I guess it depends on how you approach it.
Well, we'll try the persuasion. That seems more like FanDuel.
Yeah.
He'll motion Sigbert over with another beer and hand that to Roar and clap him on the shoulder. Well, if you have some concerns here, let's talk them out. We're working together to make sure this expedition is a success.
Oh, good one. I'll give you a bonus die for, first of all, that something's up. And that was a nice in. And I guess the obstacle would be... Well, the obstacle would be 5, which is his will. But you have a bonus die.
Could I consider that he's challenging my power here?
Well, no, he's not trying to take it from you. He did, in fact, make a point of letting you, agreeing with you there. I mean, he's not going to...
Well, then I guess I'll have to dump persona here. Dump in 3 persona.
Oh, okay. So that's 10 dice. But only 7 versus 5, which is that is a, or another routine? 7-5. No, it's difficult.
He gets a difficult roll, finally.
It's hard when you have, monster exponents all over the board.
Oh, an awful roll. 4 with only 1-6. So we'll spend a fate.
Ooh.
Okay. Just made it. 5.
Yay.
All right. Roar looks decidedly nervous, but you can see that he realizes that he's made a fool of himself and he's caught in circumstances. Yeah, he says, forgive me, Prince. I was weak. A couple of days ago, this dwarf approached me. This adventurer dwarf I'd never seen his like before. He was dressed in these human type clothes, and he had some kind of spidery type of paint all over his face and arms.
He said his name was Torir. He came from the top, and that he had a lead on some wealth, but he had scouted all the way to the Doom Gates, and the wealth lay just beyond it in an old hold, but he couldn't get past it, and he needed the stone, and I may have made a foolish choice, my prince.
And what have you done so far?
I sent some of our scouts ahead with him, and I don't know where they are. They haven't reported back.
It's good that you finally came clean on this, Roar. Don't hold these things back from me.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
How did this strange dwarf know about this stone, or that it was in my possession?
It's my understanding, Prince, that he's one of them sneaky adventurer types who spies on people. Yet he knew many things that he shouldn't, I think.
Well, you may have to get Flint and organize a rescue party for these dwarves that went with this shady character.
Yes, that is probably wise.
Did you have plans to meet him again?
Well, yes, but like I said, I haven't heard back. None have returned. And I meant to send another couple scouts after them, but, well, I'd rather heed your counsel from now on.
You're thinking straight now, Roar.
Yes. I should have done this right away. I don't know what came over me.
Sigebert, go get Flint.
Yes, sir. He hustles off, you know, leaving the platter with stuff. If you want to play that bit out, we do have time. But if you want to fast track it to next time and just have it, you know, be something that has to happen.
Yeah, we should fast track it since we need to wrap up and do awards.
Then, we'll cover it next time. Get into the whole the cheese into the bowels of the mountain kind of thing. Maybe Slate can still use this leverage in some way. Hey, you have extortion.
Yeah, but not the kind of person I want to use it on.
Yeah, friends, that might encourage you.
Yeah.
Roar needs to be kept in line because he's not doing well.
No.
It's also not exactly a good thing that my friends will encourage me.
Well, I mean, if it's not this, it might be something else. So you might still want to advert that you have this knowledge and you have someone who can corroborate the information and that, you know, he should be careful with what kind of information he spreads, right? It's
just further proof, Roar has no problem sullying himself with strange dwarves. And are there other witnesses? I thought that there were a couple of additional people there that might have picked up on that. There's always the possibility of a rumor spreading. Deploys my little radar dishes. Looking for rumors.
Okay, I guess we'll wrap it there, and then we'll go to.
Give me a lot to think about. That's not fair.
This game will do that.
I have too much to think about now. I got to think about like whether or not I want him to use that, or whether or not I want to sniff around more, or whether or not I want to blackmail him at all now. So
you don't yet know. Oh, well, okay, you will, I guess, with Flint being in the loop.
Yeah, when Flint gets back, yeah.
Well, that's the responsibility of player-authored game stuff.
He's also pretty pathetic, but yeah. I just feel sorry for him. Almost. I said almost.
Almost.
Any grief that Roar has been given, he's pretty much earned.
Yeah, still, but he's kind of pathetic, so I kind of feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I know Roar too well. This whole humble shit won't last long.
Well, I haven't seen him not humble, so... I mean, I haven't seen him humble, rather, so...
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly the point.
Okay, well, I do have a lot to think about. Yeah. Thanks for concession, guys.
Oh, hold on.
Hold on.
It's the award ceremony now.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Earning Arta, this is the lovely points that you've spent all session for working toward a belief and testing something for it, but not actually completing it. You would get fate. But I think all of you completed your various beliefs, except maybe for John.
Yeah, because I never rolled anything. I was just a helper today.
That's still cool. That's cool. Now, instincts getting you into trouble. John's definitely getting... No, wait. Instincts. That's not right. Traits. Here we go. I increased the obstacle there for you guys being, shall we say, tipsy from Old Shell's delightful, yes, testing. And that was from your impulsiveness. So yes, you're getting one fate point.
And my instinct of never starting anything without a beer first.
Well, I think that just, yeah, okay, fair
goes
enough. I'll give you for both.
Okay, so that'd be two fate?
I'm so generous.
It's not like we're hoarding them in case.
It's not like I have 21 fate, like a certain dwarf I know.
I can't roll sixes worth beans, okay? I kind of went against never leave a task undone by pawning off slate on Ufkel.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, but yeah, if you want to see it as personally completing everything, then yeah, but it's not like an aspect where you have to buy it off. It's just that
you helped
when you
me
go
complete
for
it,
it when you go for it and it gets you into trouble. That's when you get it rewarded.
In this case, I did enough to point her in the right direction.
And he's very grateful for that.
You know, I'll give you a fate point for right skill, right time, for rumor-wise talk.
Okay, sure. Is that persona or fate?
Fate.
Oh, get buckets of that.
The character has the right skill when no one else does. Okay.
It's good to be the gossip.
No real mood breaker. I'm holding off on embodiment because I'm stingy today. I want to save it for moments where you're orating before the great army or actually, I'm giving a persona embodiment to Slate for his masterful in-character manipulating of Sled.
So one persona.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And if you already recorded this, my apologies. If you didn't, your beliefs, such as helping to get dirt on Roar, getting blackmail stuff from Roar, on Roar, for Fandral, the belief about getting information on Scoria from the elf, that's a persona each.
Yay.
Oh, I didn't actually record that yet, so two persona.
Excellent.
No fate, two persona.
That's okay, you'll get fate at some point. Now we get to the voting, and Workhorse is, the character behind the scene, slaving away, making everything work, forking, helping.
That sounds like Ulfkel.
Yeah, Ulfkel.
He seemed to be the supporting role today.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so I go again. That's a persona?
Yes, that's a persona. MVP, most valuable player, for someone who drives the scenario to the conclusion and someone you couldn't have done it without. It's tougher.
I want to say Slate because this really was a Slate episode. I mean, he was there doing it, trying to get the dirt and all that stuff. That was really the main thrust of this episode.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. You're all in for that? Sure. Okay, another persona for a Slate.
Three persona. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but
spend them. That is the whole point.
Yeah. Unless you're Todd, then you save them. No.
Oh, I just realized that a way for Slate to possibly earn a deeds. Mm-hmm. Helping to bury the information about Roar. Ooh. You know, go after Roar saying, I know all this shit about you, but, I'm not going to say anything because I'm better than that, because that might bite you in the end. That's doing something good for someone else that really isn't necessarily good for you. And a deeds point is one of those big, huge, crazy hero type points where you transform your character momentarily into a beastly super person. They're interesting. That's how Ulfkel got the moniker the Spider Breaker, where he spent a deeds point on power to break out of the giant spider's legs.
Oh, yeah. And smashed him with my hammer. Oh, dear God, I am going to be taking on the dragon. Damn it.
Those fearsome brewer out there.
Natural-born brewers. All right, so I think that's it. You have gotten your Archa Awards, and we've gotten through another session, and it turned out cooler than I expected, actually.
Yeah. Well, of course. We're the Sunday Skypers. So y'all take care.
You guys too.
Bye-bye.
Since the microphone's still rolling, I'm wondering if this is where I should break into a rendition of Flash Gordon. I'll leave Dirk to edit that out.
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers at zoho.com. That's zoho.com or zoho.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.